Hey guys, welcome back to Daily Kaylee. It's been a long 2 months since my last episode, and I hope you guys are ready for some new ones. I've taken a break to spend time with Anya and my little family, and I'm so ready to jump back into recording. Today's episode is about JonBenet Ramsey. I have held so much interest in this case. The first time I ever heard of JonBenet, I was in high school. I want to say I was 14 years old, and it was in my criminal justice class at school. This case remains unsolved to this day. It has been 24 years, and we still have nothing. JonBenet was born on August 6, 1990, and she was murdered on Christmas Eve of 1996. Technically, it was December 25th. It was in the middle of the night, but on Christmas Eve is when all of this went down. If you don't know who JonBenet is, she was a child beauty queen. Her mother put her in so many beauty pageants. This case had so much nationwide interest because everyone knew this girl. Everyone saw her face plastered everywhere. It was insane. There are lots of theories on what actually happened. There's documentaries on this case that you can watch. But at the end of the day, the only person who knows what happened to her is JonBenet and the person who did this. And one of them is dead. A little background on the Ramsey family. They lived in Boulder, Colorado, and her father, John, was a businessman. He was actually the president of a company that created computer systems. Patricia Ramsey, JonBenet's mother, was his second wife, and they had two children together. JonBenet and, of course, her brother, Burke, who was 3 years older than her. JonBenet won so many beauty pageants. Her mother was a huge advocate of the entire industry. Her mother used to be in beauty pageants as a kid. And JonBenet won nearly every single one that she was in. She was Little Miss Colorado. She was National Tiny Miss Beauty. I mean, everyone knew who she was in this town. The summer after JonBenet's death, her parents and brother moved to a new home in Atlanta and just completely left behind their old life in Colorado. This case is still open, and they just packed up and left. They wanted nothing else to do with it, and that was it. So what I've gathered from the events that took place on December 24th through December 26th on 1996 is that the family came home after a night, probably spending it with their family. However, the only people known to be in the house the night that JonBenet went missing and was then murdered were her immediate family, her parents, and her brother. Patricia put the kids to bed, and that was the last time that she saw her daughter alive. The following morning, when Patricia woke up, she found a ransom note that was on the kitchen staircase. It was 2.5 pages, and it was handwritten. This ransom note told the Ramseys, "Do not contact the police. Do not contact any family or friends," and they requested $118,000 for the return of JonBenet. This is when things get extremely fucking suspicious. This amount of money is very specific, not only in the amount, but also because the Christmas before, John Ramsey got a bonus at work in the exact same amount of the $118,000. This led police and the Ramseys to believe that whoever did this knew the family personally enough to know about their finances, about their jobs. It was someone that they knew. The FBI also looked over this ransom note, and they determined that this note was unusually long. It was extremely unusual for a note to be written at the crime scene, and this note was 2.5 pages long. It had extremely specific instructions listed. It was just really strange. At first, the police believed that this note was staged by the Ramseys. It did not have any fingerprints on it except for Patricia's and, of course, the authorities who had handled it. It also included an unusual amount of exclamation marks and initials. It was extremely strange. The note was written with a pen and a notepad that belonged to the Ramsey home. This note was written at the crime scene inside of their house when this went down. Not only did they find this note, there was also a practice draft created of this note before the original one was left. According to the CBI, which is the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, they reported that they believed Patricia Ramsey wrote this note. However, they did not have enough evidence to pin this on her, and that was pretty much the end of that. There are still tons of theories out there that this was staged by her parents, but we'll get into that after I tell you the rest of the case. Michael Baden, who was a forensic pathologist at the time of the case, he consulted with the family and the authorities, and he said that he had never seen a note like this in his 60 years of experience. And he absolutely did not think this was written by a stranger. They scanned it. They went through handwriting experts. And they just could not pin this on Patricia at this time. There was not enough evidence. Things were extremely muddy and foggy at this time. And that was the end of the ransom note. Even though the note said, "Do not contact the police. Do not call family members and friends," Patricia phoned the police at 5:52 a.m. on December 25th. She also called her family and friends to see if they had noticed anything, neighbors, anyone. Two police officers responded to her call, and they arrived at the home within 3 minutes. They did a search of the house, and they concluded that whoever had taken John Benet did not break into the house. They were let in willingly. This again points to the fact that it had to have been someone who knew this family personally or someone that was already in the home. An officer by the name of Rick French, who did an initial search of the house, he went into the basement to just give it a once-over, make sure there was nothing left behind. He wanted to see if there was a different exit route that the kidnapper could have taken. There was a door in the basement that was locked with a wooden latch. He said he decided not to open it, and that was it. After a few hours of this and her still being missing, the news broke the story almost instantly, John Ramsey made arrangements to pay the ransom. A forensics team came to the house and did a once-over again, and they initially believed that John Benet had been kidnapped. At this time, because, of course, this was a kidnapping case, John Benet's bedroom was the only room in the house that was shut off from everything else to make sure that there was no contamination of evidence. That room was considered the crime scene, if that makes sense. The rest of the house, they were free to enter and go about as they pleased. Between all of this, so many friends and families that knew the Ramseys arrived at the home to give them support, to bring them food, to just give them some support in this time. Visitors would help clean the house for them, and they basically destroyed any evidence that could have been found in this house. On accident, of course, we assume, but this, I believe, in my personal opinion, this is what ruined this case. A detective by the name of Linda Arndt arrived at around 8 a.m., and her job was to wait for the kidnapper to show up and claim the money, but no one ever came. At 1 p.m. on Christmas Day, 1996, Detective Linda Arndt asked John Ramsey if anything seemed amiss in the house, if anything was missing, if anything looked like it had been moved, so they searched the house again. They started in the basement, and John opened the latch door, which the officer beforehand had decided not to open, and he found John Benet's body inside of this room. John Benet's mouth was covered with duct tape. Her wrist and her neck were both bound with a nylon cord, and her torso was covered with a white blanket. Her father picked up her body and took it upstairs to the police and the rest of the family. And when this body was moved, the crime scene was further contaminated, and all of the forensic evidence was pretty much almost completely destroyed. The forensics team returned and tried to collect what they could, but like I said, it was contaminated. Each of the Ramseys, including JonBenet's 9-year-old brother Burke, had to provide samples of their handwriting, blood, and their hair to the police. They were all interviewed for weeks following her death, and once again, nothing came of it. They could not pin this on anyone in the family. JonBenet's autopsy revealed that she had been killed by strangulation and a skull fracture. There was no evidence of rape whatsoever, but they could not rule out sexual assault. There was no DNA found, but there was evidence that she had been injured sexually. Obviously, her death was ruled as a homicide, and this is where it goes from there. The weapon that strangled JonBenet was a nylon cord and the broken handle of a paintbrush. Part of the bristle end of the paintbrush was found in a tub that contained her mother's art supplies, but the bottom half of this was never found, even though they did an extensive search of the house in the following days. Another extremely strange part of this case that a lot of people don't think is important, but it kind of is. The autopsy revealed that stuck in her throat as well was a vegetable or a fruit material that they thought looked like a pineapple. And according to the police, she had eaten it a few hours before her death. And while being strangled, she started to vomit it back up and it couldn't come out, obviously. Photographs of the home that were taken on the day when JonBenet's body was found. You can see a bowl on the kitchen table of their home that is filled with pineapple, and there was a spoon in it as if someone was eating. Neither John nor Patricia said that they remembered putting the bowl on the table or even feeding her pineapple. On the bowl, they found JonBenet's brother's fingerprints on it, and his parents advocated for him and said that he had slept through the entire night and he was not awakened until several hours after the police arrived. So there was no way that he could have went down to the kitchen to do this. Her 9-year-old brother was considered a suspect along with both of her parents during this case. In December of 2003, forensic investigators ended up extracting evidence from the underwear that JonBenet was wearing when her body was found. This evidence was made up of a mixed blood sample, and they had enough of it to finally establish a DNA profile. This DNA belongs to a male, that is what they know for sure, but they have no idea who this person is. They are not in any databases, there is nothing. However, it did exclude the DNA of everyone in the Ramsey family, Patricia, John, and her brother Burke. In October of 2016, they analyzed it again and found further evidence that this DNA was actually from two individuals and not only one. There were also traces of male DNA on the nylon cord and the paintbrush handle that was used to strangle her. When they did a DNA testing on these samples, six different individuals came back. And once again, none of these individuals are known at this time. They are not in any database. They are completely unknown. Everyone has a theory on what happened to JonBenet. There are crime experts and even people in the media and the Ramseys themselves. They all have potential suspects. Everyone thinks it was this person or this person or this person. However, when this case first came about, the Boulder, Colorado police were pretty much dead set that John and Patricia had committed this murder. That her parents had used JonBenet as a way to make money off of this case. They killed her hoping that the ransom would be paid. But by the following year, in October of 1997, there were over 1,600 people listed as people of interest for this case. And like I said, all of the people coming in and out of the house on December 25th, 1996, absolutely destroyed this case. There is just so much contamination. A lot of the staff that worked not only for the police department, but for the crime scene unit. Some of them were just not experienced enough. They did not know what the fuck they were doing. And all of the evidence that was found was shared with her parents. This is important because if her parents did kill JonBenet, they knew what the police knew. They knew what evidence the police had against them at this time. Multiple detectives worked on this case. It went to the DA's office. It went to private investigators, special prosecutors, and nothing. Nothing at all. People tried so hard to find new evidence on this case, but at the end of the day, they couldn't point this towards the Ramseys or away from them at all. There was nothing to work with. In 1998, the police department and the DA's office decided to take it to the grand jury, and they wanted to indict the Ramseys for the murder of JonBenet. In 1999, they changed the charges, and basically they wanted to pin the Ramseys with placing JonBenet at risk in a way that led to her death and obstructing an investigation of murder because of all of the evidence that was ruined during the search. However, the district attorney did not prosecute them because he just did not believe that there was enough evidence. It wasn't until 2008 that the Ramseys were finally ruled out as suspects. They filed so many defamation lawsuits. It was a shit show. For 12 years, they were considered suspects in her daughter's death. And to this day, they still are. It's just not as widely spread as it used to be. If it wasn't already clear to you, this case is a cold case, and it's been open and closed so many different times. So many different detectives have looked into this case and gone over all of the evidence. They've looked for new evidence, and it's still going for the past 24 years. As of 2016, it was reiterated that this is still an active homicide case, and the DA at the time thought it was absurd that the Ramseys were ruled out just because of DNA evidence. They pointed out once again that the DNA found on JonBenet's clothing could have been from anything. It could have been from someone that just touched her t-shirt at a party the night before. It could be things left over from previous wear. It could be from anyone giving her a hug, anything. And he said that to exonerate the Ramseys because of this, and to clear them of all charges because of this, was a huge slap in the face to the detectives that had been working on this case for so long. There are so many conspiracy theories about JonBenet's death, and I want to go into them in a future episode because I'm so interested in this case. But there are two extremely popular ones, and they are, one, that a family member committed this murder, and two, that there was an intruder. According to a profiler that worked with the FBI at the time of JonBenet's death, there is a 12-to-1 probability that a family member or caregiver is involved in the homicide of a child. And that goes for any case. Even though there was no evidence of forced entry, they did see evidence that the crime scene was staged. That after JonBenet was murdered, they staged it to look like a random person broke into their house and killed their daughter. They believe that the ransom note was staged and it was not written until after JonBenet was dead. They also found that the Ramseys were not cooperative at all. They did not want to answer questions. They were completely reluctant to talk to the police at all. And basically, what the Ramseys said is that they were scared to talk to the police because they thought that they would be seen as suspects. Which makes no sense, because if you're not wanting to talk to the police, you already look guilty. That's just how it is. There's also a huge theory that one of her parents, specifically her mother, got angry and struck JonBenet, and that the strangulation was to cover up the true cause of death. They interviewed her brother and asked about any history of abuse or neglect, and like he said, there was nothing. He said that they didn't get spanked, nothing near that at all. In April of 1997, the Ramseys offered a $100,000 reward for any information on the death of their daughter. It wasn't until 3 days after that they decided to come out and speak for an actual interview. This is when they decided to speak to the police, and this was 4 months after she died. There's a theory that came about in a CBS special a few years ago on JonBenet, and this theory is that Her brother Bert hit her in the head with a heavy object because she stole some of his pineapple. And he did not intend to kill her, but it did. And this group of people who came up with this theory suggested that the ransom letter was once again staged to cover up what actually happened. However, on behalf of her brother Burke, family's lawyer basically tried to sue CBS for even mentioning this theory. It could have some weight to it, it could not. He was 9 years old. I don't think that he could have committed this on his own. If he did accidentally kill his sister, his parents would have had to have been the ones to cover it up. And in my opinion, that makes them maybe even more guilty than he is. Once again, that's just my opinion. The second theory, like I said, is that there was actually an intruder. In the basement, inside of the room where JonBenet's body was found, there was part of a boot mark left in the floor and was unidentified. It did not belong to anyone that wore shoes in the house. It was a stranger's boot mark. There were a few different people that were considered persons of interest in this case due to the boot mark. First one was their neighbor, Bill McReynolds, who played Santa Claus every year for the kids, and to wear his boots. That's basically the basis on that. Had a former housekeeper by the name of Linda Hoffman Pugh. She was also considered to be a person of interest. She took JonBenet, killed her for the ransom money, I don't know. And there was also a man by the name of Michael Helgoth, who actually died in a apparent suicide shortly after JonBenet died. Circumstances surrounding his death are extremely suspicious, which is why it's an apparent suicide. And like I said, there's not a lot of evidence that any of these people did this. So there were no signs of a forced entry, like I've said multiple times now. However, on the night that she was killed on Christmas Eve, two windows were propped slightly open so that the outside Christmas lights could be plugged in inside so the cords could pass through the windows. There was also a broken basement window that the original CSI team completely overlooked, and one of the doors in the house were unlocked. Although the basement window was broken, this has been ruled out as a point of entry because there were cobwebs and foliage around the window that had been undisturbed, that there was no sign that someone had crawled through this window. Part of the intruder theory is that detectives believe the intruder used a stun gun on JonBenet and then took her down to the basement. This is where JonBenet was murdered and left, and then they left the ransom note. This idea was largely supported by an FBI agent of the name John Douglas, who was hired by the Ramsey family to look into her death. He's either doing his job, which is the most likely scenario, or people also believe that, of course, he would support this because it's taking the heat off of the Ramseys, who he is literally being paid by to look into this case. The detective who came up with this theory finally believed that the Ramseys were innocent because, once again, he thought an intruder did this, and he resigned from the investigation on September 20th of 1998. Even though he was no longer an official investigator on the case, he continued to work on it until his death in 2010. A lot of people also theorize that JonBenet could have attracted the attention of pedophiles and child pornographers. This is based because of her beauty pageant experience. I mean, her face was known nearly nationwide before her death because of these pageants. Everyone in town knew her. She was in the public eye. According to the FBI's sex offender registry, there were 38 registered sex offenders that lived within a 2-mile radius of their home. And within prior months of her death, there had been more than 100 robberies in their neighborhood. This information fueled the theory that there had to have been an intruder. There was a registered sex offender in the neighborhood by the name of Gary Howard Olivia. And in June 2016, he was arrested for 2 counts of attempted sexual exploitation of a child and 1 count of actual sexual exploitation of a child. In 2002, even then, he was considered a suspect, but there was not enough basis on that other than the fact that he was a registered sex offender. District attorney who exonerated the Ramseys, her name was Mary Lacey, and few agents who worked for her spoke out at their time there. She largely advocated that Ramses were innocent. She supported the theory that it was an intruder, and one man who worked there said it was almost like she was trying to convince the entire agency that they were innocent. He was told not to voice any opposition to that theory because he may lose his job if he did. But it was super suspicious that almost seemed like she was trying to cover something up. 2006, a 41-year-old elementary school teacher by the name of John Mark Carr falsely confessed to murdering JonBenet and claimed that he had drugged her and sexually assaulted her, which led to accidentally killing her. Authorities obviously looked into this, and there was no evidence to link him to the crime scene at all. His confession, John also only provided basic knowledge. No convincing details. There was absolutely nothing to link him to this case other than things that he had read in the newspaper. Once again, he claimed that he drugged her, but her autopsy showed that there was nothing in her system. There were no drugs found in her body, and they took DNA samples from John Carr, and none of them matched the sample on JonBenet's body. Fortunately, this is the last we've heard of this case. It's still considered an active homicide investigation in Boulder, Colorado, and have nothing else to go on. It saddens me to say that all of the evidence that could have pinned her murder was probably destroyed the morning that her body was found. No one will ever forget JonBenet Ramsey, and hope that her case is solved in our lifetime. Thank you guys so much for listening today. If you don't already know, I recently published my second collection of poetry called To Helen a Muffin Basket. It is 300 pages long, and you can order it on Amazon right now. Or if you have an Amazon account, you can read it for free using a Kindle Unlimited trial. Now Amazon is offering 2 free months, and basically, if you don't know what Kindle Unlimited is, you can literally read unlimited books for free in your 2-month trial. It's exactly what it sounds like. You can read as many books as you want during that time, and no time limit. You're not renting the book. You can take your time and still get paid. Amazon. I've had a lot of people reach out to me saying that they don't want to do a free trial. They want to wait until they can get their hands on the paperback because they want me to make a profit. And I promise you, you are still supporting me. It makes me so happy to log into my little Amazon dashboard and see that people are reading my book. Thank you guys so much for listening. My next episode will most likely be about more conspiracy theories surrounding JonBenet. So stay tuned. Love you guys.